service, certainly a tender.
And a wonderful service, Gordon O'Neill. Very glad of it. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Try to cut off soon enough that we can have that quick business meeting. And I'll get out of here and try to get some rest. Okay? Some of you have wearied yourself this whole week. And thank God for you. So Luke chapter 5. Pastor Hayne, would you pray for this service?
Yes. Father, you've been good to us this week. These many messages, services, singing, dear fire. Father, I remember the choir and what a joy it was to hear them sing, whether as backup with the congregational songs or specials that they prepared. Thank you for that. And then today, Lord, you've given us a Sunday school lesson, a morning message, and now we come to you and look for you to speak to our hearts once again. Help us to be attentive, attentive to this message for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. So Luke chapter 5, we're going to go to verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. It's interesting, it says full of leprosy. A lot of different types of leprosy out there in the world today. Different brands and different kinds. This kind that afflicts in the Bible seems to be unique to Bible times and to this area. Because I read a lot about leprosy and it doesn't always correspond with what I read in here. But then I find out many different degrees of leprosy, different types. You know, it's like the flu. There's different types of flu that go through. Okay? Like cancer, different types of cancer that go through. All right. So here's a man full of leprosy. And leprosy will usually start in one little spot. For example, when you go back in Leviticus 13, they'll talk about how the priest is to look for it. He's going to look for that, maybe that one white, that one yellow hair that'll show up out of a person. Because back then, all those Jews, they didn't have yellow hair. It's interesting, again, for the white supremacists, because yellow hair is a sign of leprosy. All right? And, yeah, some of you ladies, all right, yeah, all right. But again, he looks for that. And there's certain things he looks for in there and finds it and pronounces the man unclean. Here's a man full of leprosy. Nothing has stopped it. It's gotten him completely. Okay? And it's a very grievous thing when you hear about it and how the body just begins to shut down and the skin and everything and things begin to fall off or whatever. So by the time he comes home, he is full of leprosy. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. Okay? So much better when a person can get saved young at age before that leprosy fills them, okay? And, you know, because there's a lot of awful things that come into people. That idea of Pastor Hayne being able to be saved at 15, what a glorious grace from God, okay? That he should have been saved so young, or some of us, would to God we could have not had the leprosy in us that we'd had in us, all right? But regardless of that, it says this, verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. By the way, your Bible tells you it went into Jesus. He himself bore our sicknesses. Went into him, all right? And that's another doctrine in its own right. But when it says he bore our sicknesses and bore our infirmities, it actually started way back in Matthew chapter 8, 2.5 years before the cross. He began carrying those things in him. Now, it says this in verse 14, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, I want you to understand what that priest had to go through. I want to look at it from the priest standpoint for a moment. You know, for one thing, not many people ever got healed of leprosy. There's only two in the Old Testament that got healed of it. One was Moses. Moses, put your hand into your shirt, pull it back out, it's leprous. Put it back in, it was healed. The other one was Naaman the Syrian. who went, and he was told, you go dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times, okay? Let me tell you something, 1,000 lepers could go dip themselves in Jordan 7 times. It wasn't going to do a bit of good. But he went according to the commandment of God and trusting it. And that's what did the good, okay? No work can ever give you grace. But grace will always give you the works to do. Grace will teach you, denying yourselves, living God, that'll teach you that. So a work can't bring grace, but grace will bring works, okay? The work he was required to do is go dip himself in that river, okay? And he did it. Now I want you to go back with me to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, and we're going to go to verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Ah, here we go. He said, go show yourself to the priest that he can do things according to the law, what the law said he had to do, okay? Verse 3. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. So he doesn't come into the camp. The priest goes outside of the camp and looks at him. And there in Leviticus 13 tells you how he's examined him. He says, boy, this guy really is. He's cleansed of his leprosy. Okay. Verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. Okay. And scarlet again. Rare cloth, where it's been dyed to be that way. Brother Rose began to talk about that somewhat. I know, for example, purple comes from a certain mollusk, like a clam type of thing, in the Mediterranean. Extremely expensive. And when they first found it, you just wait out and find them. Later on, when you get into Acts 16, for example, Lydia, she's a dealer in purple. And where people had to go way out, dive way down to find those, and only the rich could afford to have their robes dyed that way. Well, scarlet's similar to that, where you have something and it, you know, you've made something of linen, you made something of wool, and you want it to be a different color, and you get that scarlet and you transform it and give it that color, all right? So it'd been a very valuable thing. So here's what the priest was to do. He's to get 2 living birds, he's to go get a piece of cedar wood, he's to get some scarlet, and he's to get some hyssop. So imagine this leper showing up and saying, by the way, Jesus just healed me. Okay, here's what the priest had to do. Verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop. Verse 5, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. So imagine that. Go get an earthen vessel. Find a place where there's running water, and you put that bird in there and kill it in there. All right? In Leviticus 1, it actually describes killing that bird by wringing the head off. What's that a picture of? It's a picture of the Godhead that had perfect harmony together until the cross, and the Godhead was torn asunder. Why? For you and me. Okay? Where that perfect love torn apart. So that bird. And it's done. So somebody's going to be holding that earthen vessel and keep again. This is where the Apostle Paul talks about this treasure we have in Christ. But he said we have an earthen vessel, this body we have, this fragile thing, that wonder that God's put in there. But Jesus Christ himself saw fit to live in that earthen vessel, to live in this thing that's human flesh. I know it comes from the Father, but made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And so just imagine the throne. All right, hold that vessel, hold it there, and putting that bird in there, and wringing that bird's head off, and you've got that blood there. Now watch what they do. Verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. So you're holding that living bird. You imagine that bird itself trying to get away. And you've got those, and you put it down in that vessel and dip them. It's got that blood now, that bird on it, okay? Verse 7, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Okay? So he takes that. By the way, when Jesus Christ told the thief, you're pardoned, what did he do with his spirit? Set it to the Father, didn't he? Okay? All right? That's what he did. But here he's got this man, and you've got here, you're holding this wood, you're holding that scarlet, you're holding that hyssop. Hyssop's one of those plants that they would put into a house to get the smell out. You know. My mother always used to say of little boys, they always smell like, you know, dirty dogs or something like that. They get playing, you had a bunch of boys. Just houses get musty and things get musty. It's just one of those things to kind of lighten up, refresh things and make it smell a little bit better. And so he takes those things, and then he hears that leper, and he takes it, one, two, three, and that blood spattered on him each time, okay? And five, six, seven. Peter will talk about that sprinkling, okay? He'll talk about you having that. That's why when you see those terms in the Bible, you should really go back and look, what was I dealing with, okay? Now, here's the thing. He's going to take that living bird, let it loose in the open field. Verse 8, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. So something's going to happen here. Priest has done this, so he's got to go somewhere and shave himself completely. All hair has to be off his body. And he's going to wash his clothes. He's going to put them on. He's now in the camp, but he can't go home. He's going to have to spend 7 days. Verse 9. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave off the hair of his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. So on the seventh day, doesn't have to be quite as much, but he's going to get rid of the eyebrows and the hair and all that kind of thing. And he shall wash his clothes, and he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Verse 10, and on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. Now think about this. This is what the priest had to do when Jesus sent this guy back. Okay? It wasn't just a simple process. It was like, oh my goodness, you didn't get clean. The leprosy did. Yes, I did. All right. This is what they got to do. Then it goes on and says this. Verse 11, and the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and weigh them for a wave offering before the Lord. I don't know how much a log was, but that was a measurement, so much oil. A wave offering is where you go like this. You wave it. A heave offering is like this. Sometimes they had to do both. Oh, I wonder what that's a sign of. All right. Verse 13. And this is probably one of the hardest verses in the Word of God to believe. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering is most holy. Now, the people in Neil and Ashley's class, they understand that. You've got your outer area of the tabernacle where the brazen altar is and the laver and such. Then you have the tent part of it. And that tent part, priests would go in there. The first part's called the holy place. What's in the holy place? The candlestick, the incense altar, and the table of showbread. They would kill that lamb in there. No other sacrifice does that ever happen. You know why? Because God has a spot for the leper in his heart. More than any other person. That even right into that sacred place in there, you take that in there, you kill that lamb right there. Okay? There's something about the leper. He shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering, the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. So here's that man to be cleansed, and that priest takes that, puts it on his ear, his thumb, and his toe. That's why I honestly believe our new body in heaven, because it was there when Lucifer sinned. I believe I'll find that blood on his ear, his thumb, his toe. I believe I'll find that, okay? Then it says this, verse 15, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil in his left hand and shall sprinkle the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in the handful of the hand of the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe's right foot, upon the blood of the trespass. So it's not just the blood, it's that oil also. You know, Pastor Hain, remember R.B. Thiem? Yeah. And a great teacher of the Word of God, got a little dry sometimes or whatever, but he was like John MacArthur, he didn't believe the actual blood was anything, okay? He thought it meant death and it represented death or whatever else. And part of their point was, look at all the blood got on the Roman soldiers, all right? What did that do for them, all right? Didn't do anything for them. But the point is, in the Word of God, they had to put that oil on there, else the Holy Ghost, yeah. All right? Had to be more than just the blood, okay? It had to be that anointing that went on with that and something done. By the way, in the morning, when Mama went to wash the robes of the centurion that killed Jesus Christ, no blood. Mm. No blood, okay? No blood. Why? Because it's in heaven, all right? It's the blood of God. He's purchased the church with it. Now it says this, verse 18, and the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour over the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved. Oh, I was poor. God provided a lamb. I couldn't afford any of that, but God provided a lamb for me. Yeah. Right? Do you think that leper had any money? He shall take one lamb for a trespass offering and be waved to make an atonement for him, and one tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil from meat offering and a log of oil, and two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he's able to get. One shall be for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. Now, I could go into all this, but do you understand what this priest had to do? This was not an easy thing. This was like, hey, Jesus cleansed me. Okay, yeah, I see it. Okay, mark him in the book. No. It changed that priest's entire week, that man coming up to him and saying, I've been cleansed. And there's that man. Can you imagine the first time he had to go and shave off all his hair? But oh my goodness, he was used to taking those clothes off and wretched things hanging off of him, and villainy and awfulness and scabs and pus and blood. And it's just all fresh. He's been cleansed.
Amen.
He's been made pure. Okay, God's done a miracle in him. I've told this story before. I knew a girl. Some of you have heard this story, but I knew a girl who up until the seventh grade had these horrible scabs all over her face. They just grew. And her father had a very good job. Used to take her to all sorts of doctors, and you can imagine what they called her in school, scab mm-hmm. face, and you know, all the things that you call a girl like that. And you know, they're just horrible, the stuff that would come on her skin. And he heard about another doctor and took her there, and the doctor laughed when he saw it. So that's easy. Gave her a medicine, said, I want you to start washing this every day. She told me the story of what they're washing. It just all came off. It was just this beautiful skin beneath. She ran, daddy. You imagine that? You imagine that for that girl, her whole life's been changed by this thing, okay? I know that girl, all right? Or I didn't know her 40 some years ago. Mm. That's that leper.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the sinner who's really full of leprosy. And it might be that others don't even know because of the clothes they wear or whatever else, but they know. And the day will come when your conscience is absolutely clean. And there's that understanding. God puts a principle within. Little Katie had us sing that song, okay? I was pleased you picked that, okay? And that principle is within you. And suddenly, you're not that dog biting with your tongue and all that kind of stuff. Something different's happening inside of you. You know, my son Michael said this when his wife got saved. He told me, he said, Dad, he said, when we adopted those three children, Kimberly had always been the mama to the other two when they lived in the crack house. And when Tanya took over, they just clashed all the time. And he says, there are times I would just go in the other room and weep over the bitter words the two of them would say to each other. And he said, when she got saved, we came home that night and Kimberly challenged her to her face. And he said, I was bracing. He said, the words out of Tanya were so full of wisdom and love, I went in the other room and swept over that.
Amen. Praise God.
That's right. See, I want a principle within. You go in the mirror and it's cleansed. It's not like it used to be. God offers. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. See, I don't give a fig for a salvation testimony that leaves a person the same way. We all grow at different lengths. I love what Ronnie Scolton says. He said, it takes me about a year and a half to get a year of Christian growth. I love that statement. It takes me about a year and a half to get a year of Christian growth. I have some people, it takes them a lot longer than a year and a half to get a year of Christian growth. But if you look where they started from, you're amazed there's any Christian growth at all. Okay? You understand that, don't you, Jody? Yep. Understand that. Let people go ahead and judge where you're at. Let them try living your life for a little while, okay? Let them try doing that, okay? And see what it's like to try to get a year of Christian growth in. Sometimes it takes a couple years to get that year in, okay? Doesn't always come as quick as you want. Colossians chapter 1, talking about Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? People always wanted images. God gave him one, Jesus Christ, okay? The firstborn of every creature. Why do they say the firstborn of every creature? Because when a man had creatures, he always had to kill his firstborn, give it to God. Jesus said, no more, I'll be the firstborn. I'll be the one. I'll be the sacrifice. Never again will you have to give your firstborn to God. Okay, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or things created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I had a friend one time. They came to our church, and I said, what made you change your mind? And he said, I realized I was not making Jesus Christ to be preeminent. That the life I was living, I wasn't giving him the preeminence. And he said, I realized if I'm going to give him the preeminence, I need to start coming to the house of God. It's a good statement. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There's nothing in the Godhead that's not in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, here's where I want you to become Bible believers. And this is what made Bill Randall so unique. When he'd see that, he'd say, what's different about the blood of his cross than the blood that just fell on the ground as well? Is there any place in the Old Testament where blood had to go on wood? Yes, there was. And we saw it, didn't we? We saw it. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. What in heaven has to be reconciled? Doesn't the book of Job say, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight? Where does Satan go when he wants to talk to God? There was a day when all the sons of God came before God and Satan was among them. Where did Satan sin? Right there. Book of Revelation, he still takes another third of the angels with him. So when God wanted to reconcile things in heaven, he used the blood of the cross. Isn't it interesting? The only time that blood goes on wood, it goes inside the tabernacle. Because he's going to reconcile things in heaven. So that inner chamber where that table of showbread is, where that incense altar, and where that candlestick is, all pictures of heaven itself. God had that sacrifice done right there. And he had that blood go on that wood right there, that cedar wood. By the way, if anybody asks you, what kind of wood was the cross made out of? Cedar. Okay. Cedar wood. Pretty obvious. Okay. It's made out of cedar wood. This is where, if you want to be a student of the Word of God, just keep this in mind. The Bible will never use the word blood, sacrifice, or offering in the New Testament, but that there's not a specific one in the Old Testament it's dealing with, especially the Apostle Paul. He has a specific, here, it's obvious, he's talking about the cleansing of the leper, okay? Because it's the blood on the wood, and sure enough, it's to cleanse things in heaven. The cleansing of the leper takes place right in the tabernacle itself, right in the holy place. That's why the Apostle Paul will teach you things about this Bible that you'll never learn anywhere else. But if you learn anything today, here's what I wanted you to learn. God loves that leper like no one else. There's never been a person filled with leprosy who's come to Jesus Christ knowing their condition, understanding his ability, who he sent away and didn't clean. When you go back in that Bible, you find a lot of people who ultimately, Jesus Christ gave them an answer they didn't want. Sometimes it looks rude, sometimes it's hard. He casts them away. It's always people coming up negotiating. They have an edge for how they want to say things. It's never quite, I'm an unclean leper, I'm completely riddled through and through. It's always that edge, a little bit. Well, Master, we know this or that. And they try to negotiate with them, and those people never find salvation. They never get anything. But oh, the broken. Oh, the people that understand that I am full of leprosy. There's a sacrifice made for them that's like nothing else. Father, I thank you for what we've learned here today. And I do pray that you help us to take this home. And Lord, cleanse the lepers. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead and turn that off, Timothy, and we'll have our business meeting.